Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. Wow, what a weekend of sport we've experienced here in Australia. Grand final weekend for both the AFL and the NRL, National Rugby League and Australian Football League. Trust wherever you are, you've had a fantastic weekend. If you're an Australian sports follower, then chances are you would have watched the AFL Grand Final, the first ever Grand Final at nighttime, and also the first in over 100 years that was played outside of Melbourne, obviously Melbourne being in lockdown still around COVID. And of course, last night being the NRL Grand Final, where the Melbourne Storm managed to hang on against the Penrith Panthers in a classic game of rugby league. So, hey, welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Letter Podcast. This is Darren Mitchell, and on a beautiful Monday, just wanted to reflect on some of the lessons that I gained from the weekend's Grand Finals, some leadership lessons that we can take away from the game, from the players, but also from the coaches, that hopefully we can apply to our own business and our own team this week, but also in the weeks and months ahead, to hopefully allow us to take our leadership to an entirely new level and help in the process our teams drive those sustainable results that we know we're all looking for. And ultimately, when we get there, that's when we can get some longevity in our capabilities, but also in our performance over the journey. So a number of different lessons, and I'll probably talk more about the AFL because that's the game that I love, and that's what I'm most passionate about. Don't know a huge amount about rugby league, but what I do know is that there's some tough boys playing the rugby league. I've got to tell you, the way they hit each other. And for Cameron Smith, who's played over 400 games, captain of the Melbourne Storm, whether he retires or not is incidental. But for him to play such a brutal game for such a long period of time and to be at the top of his game for so long, it says a lot about him as an individual, but also as an athlete, for his sustainability. It's just unbelievable. It's just incredible. So we talked on Friday in the podcast about whether is this your grand final? Have you got your grand final coming up? And some things to think about when you go into a grand final. And I talked about some of the elements that these teams going into their grand finals over the weekend, what they would have been thinking about. So today I wanted to draw upon just some lessons out of the games and thinking about how we can apply these in our day-to-day activities, but also just generally as people who love leadership, who love high performance, how can we take these lessons and utilize these in our own games, in our own opportunities, in our own businesses, but also in our own life, because there's a lot of lessons we can drive out of these people, out of these games, and certainly out of the leaders that were playing or overseeing the game. So the first big lesson, and it doesn't necessarily relate to the games per se, but it just relates to the season in its entirety. The fact that both NRL and AFL were able to complete seasons and are able to get a grand final away on the weekend and complete it and have a successful season is amazing. Now, it comes down to one of the key leadership lessons that I've always focused on, taught, and make sure it's top of mind when it comes to mentoring other leaders. And that is, the mindset has to be, there is always an answer to every single problem. Now, if you go right back to March this year, when the first round of AFL was played against no crowds, and there was a chance back then that the season was going to be called off based on, I guess, the unknown nature of COVID and all the, let's just say, the propaganda that was around it, because it was completely unknown. We've learned a lot since, but back then there was an opportunity for the season to be called off because we were going to go into lockdown, and there was no logical way, based on how things had been done in the past, that people saw that there'd be able to be a season get underway, let alone any crowds whatsoever. So we found round one played with no crowds. Now, what was interesting is as the lockdown proceeded over the weekend of that first round, I think the last game of the first round was Melbourne and West Coast in Perth. And just before those players had jumped on the ground to play their first game of the year, it had already been decided that the season would be halted and would be temporarily suspended with no real understanding as to when it would come back again. And what then ensued was, I think, 100 days or 100 plus days of no no activity, certainly no games. And gradually there was some training protocols were brought back in, which meant that training could happen, but only in small groups and certainly non-contact. And it wasn't until somewhere through, I think, June, July, where the games started to get back on track, started to be played again, but then ended up being hubs in Queensland. Now, for the AFL to go through what they went through to make the season happen with all of the protocols that were in place, and the fact that really there was only one AFL player across the entire population of the league that had a positive COVID case, and that was Connor McKenna, who I think they've now said probably caught it from Ireland when he was over in Ireland during the first lockdown, and was back and maybe was a little bit asymptomatic, but was the back end of his COVID diagnosis here. I think to get through the entire season without any other cases being positive is just testament to the ability of the AFL to put some rigor around processes and get some stuff in place to enable these players to play and enable the crowds to start coming back in the northern part of Australia. So the first big lesson for me is the fact that we're able to get a season away at all, which meant that the hierarchy had to have this fixation with mindset of saying, you know what, no matter what's happening, even though we haven't dealt with this sort of situation before, we will find a way. We'll find a solution. We'll identify the problems and we'll get a solution away. And they're able to do that, which I think is just phenomenal for what the leadership of the AFL have been able to do to make sure that the season not only completed, but also you got a grand final away. And it's ended up being one of the greatest seasons of all time. And it'll go down in history, I think, as that. And I think in future years, when we look back on this year and look at what was achieved, certainly through the AFL, and there'll be a number of other sporting codes that went through similar things, for them to be able to achieve what they did under the circumstances. And I'm sure there's a lot of stories that won't reach the public eye that they had to deal with in terms of challenges, obstacles, adversity. The fact that we're able to get it away, I think, is just testament to the quality of the people that run the AFL and the leadership and the decisions that were made. So let's get on to the grand final itself. And there's a number of lessons that I took away from the grand final, apart from the fact that it was an absolute cracking game. And it was exactly what you wanted to see as the last game of the year, being the grand final, played between two teams that fully deserved to be there. They were fully fit. I think both teams had probably one or two players that were probably in their best 22 that weren't able to play because of injury. But aside from that, they were literally their best teams they could have put on the park. And they gave a fantastic spectacle. And it was exactly the type of grand final that we come to expect, because so many times in grand finals, unfortunately, teams that make it, some teams play their quote-unquote grand final 1 or 2 weeks before the actual grand final itself, and so the grand final game itself becomes a bit of a fizzer. But thankfully, this game was an absolute cracker. And looking at the NRL grand final, the same. It was even though it was a blowout in the first half, I think from a physicality and a strategy point of view, it was a cracking grand final. So both of them were fantastic. So the first lesson is how important preparation is. Now, preparation is absolutely key. Now, we talk a lot about, whether it be in business or in sales or in sport, that practice makes perfect. Well, it's actually not practice that makes perfect. It's perfect practice that makes permanent. So in order to get into a position where not only as a team you can make the grand final, but then be in a position where you can perform at your optimal level in a grand final, you have to be really, really prepared. Now, that means prepared both physically but also mentally in terms of their preparation. Now, it's fair to say that both teams were playing at their optimal, and I think as the game played out, it really showed that the best team actually ended up winning the premiership in the AFL. But from a preparation point of view, both coaches were talking about how their years were challenging. There was a lot of adversity they had to overcome, but in terms of the mental and physical preparation of the players, they were ready to perform at their best on that last particular day in October, as it happened to be, in terms of the last start day in October. So preparation is absolutely key. So how prepared are you? Have you done the work? Has your team done the work? Have you done the preparation both mentally and physically to be in a position where you can be at your best on your grand final? That final hurdle you need to get over, that final opportunity that you need to close, that final presentation, that final meeting you go to. Knowing that you've done the work means that you give yourself a little bit of poetic license, if you like, just to enjoy the day and experience the day, knowing that you've done the preparation and that you can be at your best on the particular day. The second lesson I got from it is all about flexibility and adaptability. Now, both teams in the first minute, or I think minute and a half, both teams had injuries. One of the Richmond players, Nick Flossner, got knocked out. So he was carried off on a stretcher, and he is one of the Richmond's most reliable defenders, particularly in conditions that was in Queensland on Saturday night. He would have been a challenging person to backfill, to get somebody to fill his role, having not been able to play the rest of the game. And then Gary Ablett, of course, who's playing his last game after being such a champion for so many years, went down with a shoulder injury. And we thought that would be the last we'd see of him. But flexibility and adaptability becomes incredibly important. So both coaches had to adapt based on things that they didn't necessarily foresee. So who would have thought that they would have had a player knocked out in the first minute and somebody potentially have a shoulder injury or an injury that could have meant that they couldn't play for the rest of the game. So both coaches had to adapt and demonstrate a level of flexibility. So the key lesson here is you might have all the preparation in place, you might have all the contingency put in place, but sometimes things that happen that even you haven't considered, which means you have to adapt really, really quickly. And I think both teams adapted quite well, means they had to shuffle their players around. But I think at the end of the day, it was Richmond at the end of it who got on top in the second half. But I think both coaches had to be really flexible in it and show a level of adaptability, as did the players, because a couple of the players, certainly from Richmond, were talking about after the game the fact that they were thrown in positions on the day that they normally would not play in, which means they had to adapt and then follow the instructions and play the best they possibly could, even though they were out of their normal position. And the reason for that is so when a man goes down, they need to be able to backfill it quickly and continue to move. And that goes into the third lesson, which is trust the process. The interesting thing about the trusting the process is, and I talk about this a lot, because long gone are the days when coaches in particular of AFL teams talk about the scoreboard and talk about winning. They always now talk about the process. And I've talked about this previously. And what coaches do now is they break down the game into quarters, and they'll break the quarters down into segments. Now, some of the line coaches will also break down the segments into specific pieces of play within each of the segments. And it's literally down to, you know, minutes in terms of measuring players' adaptability, measuring their performance in a particular piece of time or place on the ground. And so trusting the process was a really interesting lesson, which I think really came to the fore on the weekend, because during the second quarter, Geelong were getting on top, and I think they got out to about a 22-point lead, and it looked as if Geelong had all the momentum, and it looked as if they were a likely premier. Now, they missed some chances, but they could have been further ahead. But the interesting thing about that is that, and we only found this out at the end of the game, when Richmond went in at halftime, they thought about what their key message was. They thought that in the last 5 minutes of the second quarter, they turned their game around and got some ascendancy back. But the interesting thing about it was the key message at halftime was not about how far they're behind. Their key message was simply trust the process. Focus on the next moment and focus on the next contest, and the result will take care of itself. And this links back, of course, to the preparation, because these guys are so well drilled. They know the game plan. They know where each other's strengths and I guess liabilities potentially lie. And so they know the process they need to follow, and they just trust the process, which means they now play with a level of freedom. The next lesson was all about leaving nothing on the table and having no regrets. Now, I think it's fair to say that both teams finished the game absolutely exhausted, and they gave their all. Now, it happened to be that Richmond became the premiers, because they were the ones that ultimately got on top and had the ascendancy. But whilst they were the team that won, both teams can think that they had a really successful year, and I think both teams can be proud of the contribution that they made in the game, but also the intensity of their effort. So it's one thing that you'd never want to have regrets, and I've heard a lot of players over the years talk, certainly in AFL circles, where their biggest game sometimes is their biggest regret, because they didn't put everything in on the particular day, or they had the opportunity to do something and they didn't, they hesitated. So one thing is absolutely certain, based on what I saw on Saturday night, is there was every single player on the field gave absolutely everything, and there was literally nothing left. The other thing was adversity. Adversity, both teams demonstrated that they had to overcome adversity and challenges throughout the season, but there was also adversity that happened on the grand final game itself. So if you think about, I mean, as I said, the first couple of minutes, Gary Ablett did his shoulder. Now, what's since come out is potentially he might have had a crack or a fracture in his shoulder, and so he went down into the rooms, obviously got his shoulder strapped, and probably got some painkilling injections as well. But he came back on the ground, and whilst he was favouring his shoulder, he was still involved in some really key passes of play that enabled Geelong to really gain the ascendancy in that second quarter. So for him to come back, for him to deal with the injury and then come back was a mark of the character of the person, but also his ability to overcome and deal with adversity and not let adversity demonstrate or define him. So I think that was one of the greatest examples of, I guess, leadership, was when it would have been easy to sit on the bench and say, my day's done, I can't go on. He said, no, this is too important. This is the last game I'm ever going to be playing. This is too important for the team. I need to make the contribution. I'm a key part of the process for the team. We need to find out how we can get back, because again, there's always an answer. So there's a lot of little lessons there from an adversity point of view, just looking at, do we give up at the slightest sign of a challenge or adversity when we get injured potentially? When we get a knockback, when we have some rejection or we have somebody that doesn't agree with us, do we actually accept that? Or do we actually suck it up, turn around, take the feedback and actually change things and get back on the field? Increase our discretionary effort and look to get better. And probably the biggest lesson I got was after the game. And this is where these coaches were not interviewed, certainly on the Channel 7 broadcast, but and watching those on Sunday morning, I was just blown away by how gracious both coaches were, both in victory in the case of Damien Hardwick, but also in defeat in the case of Chris Scott. Now, they both showed absolute class in how they handled themselves after the game. They both showed huge amounts of humility and grace, and it wasn't about them. It was not about them. It was about their players, and they talked about the environment they've created, how much adversity they had to overcome, and the fact that their players deserve what they got based on the effort that they put in through the environment that had been created for them, but also by them. Now, it was interesting that whilst Damien Hardwick's, he's now a triple premiership coach, and when he was talking about it, it wasn't, I mean, the spoils of victory are fantastic, but it was the journey that he talked about. It was the fact that all the people that he was surrounded with and all the work that people had invested over the last 4 or 5 years that had led to the organization being in a position to enjoy the success they enjoyed on Saturday night. Because he made special mention of in 2016, Richmond lost their final game of the year by being defeated by Sydney by 113 points. Now, at that time, it would have been very easy, and Damien said this, it would have been very easy for Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond, to sack him because he hadn't been delivering on the expectations that had been set. But instead, he backed his coach and he backed the system that he put in place. So he backed the environment. Now, what will go down in history is in 2017, Richmond won the premiership. In 2018, they got pipped to the post in the preliminary final. But in 2019 and 2020, they are premiers. So he's got now 3 premierships in 4 years since that moment where he could have been sacked and probably in retrospect thought he would have been sacked. So the biggest lesson there is it's the adversity, but it's also the people that you surround yourself with that is absolutely critical to the environment you create and the opportunities that are created out of the environment for you, for yourself, but also for your team. And there was one specific thing he mentioned as part of his press conference, which I want to leave you with. And I think this sums up the man, but also sums up the whole environment that's been created in this organization, which is why they are enjoying the success that they are. There was a couple of indiscretions that happened within the Football Hub this year, and 2 players in particular were sent home. Now, the media want Damien Hardwick to reflect on that and say how bad it was for the club and all the images and all that sort of stuff. But he talked about this in terms of adversity, and he said, look, at the time we had 2 choices. We could have actually buried these 2 players because 2 players were sent home for indiscretions around the COVID hub, or we could have planted them. Now, this is a massive thing, right? I want us to get this. We could have buried them or we could have planted them. Now, planting them is what they chose to do. So they're still part of the club. It's the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. He chose to plant them rather than bury them, incorporate them still in the environment, and they're still part of the team and will be players next year and the year after that. So as I leave you with that, I think that was a really, really important lesson, not just from a football coach point of view, but from a leadership's perspective. Are you planting people or are you burying people? Do you have a fixed mindset or do you have a growth mindset? So there are just a few lessons that I gained out of the AFL and NRL Grand Final over the weekend. I trust that that resonates. I trust that would be of value and it can help you in your leadership aspirations for this week and beyond. So have a fantastic week and thanks once again for plugging in to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. And I look forward to talking to you on the very next episode. All the best. Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.